Have you visited the AmberMayShow.com yet? I have all kinds of discounts to save you money. You can find a discount for eastbay.com when you use promo code AFAMBER1. That's A as in Adam, F as in Frank, AMBER1. And you can save 15% off any order of shoes or apparel. Save even more when you use promo code AFAMBER2. That's A as in Adam, F as in Frank, AMBER2. And you get 20% off $75 or more. If you need any sort of shoes, from athletic to casual, they have you covered. Remember, promo code AFAMBER1 for 15% off, or AFAMBER2 for 20% off $75 or more.
It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like, out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Thank you for joining me today on the Amber May Show, and we're continuing with our series on God stories. And joining me today is Pastor Gus Korkosellos. Now, he wasn't always a pastor in his life, and we're going to talk about where he came from, because he has a tremendous God story that I want you to hear. And if God can use Pastor Gus, he can use you no matter where you're at in your life. So welcome, Pastor Gus, to the program.
Thank you very much. And once again, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to be on the program today.
It's my pleasure. I know that 1994 was a turning point for you, but I would like to back up the story and get a little information about yourself, because I want to talk about what led up to your turning point in 1994. First of all, let me ask you, did you grow up in a Christian home?
Well, I grew up, you know, we attended church, you know, when I was younger, but it was more, you know, as far as church for us, our background is Greek, so it was Greek Orthodox Church. So, and when I say that, I want to be very careful that, you know, there's a lot of good churches out there, a lot of good people there that, you know, as far as Greek Orthodox churches, but the church that we were attending at the time, I mean, I didn't know anything about, you know, a relationship with the Lord. And It was more like, okay, we went because it was Easter and that's what you're supposed to do. We went because it was Christmas and that's what you're supposed to do. And, you know, we went through the cycles of, you know, of just, you know, if it was Easter, if it was Christmas, and just going through, those traditions.
It was like a cultural thing then.
Yeah. And,
okay.
And so I didn't know about God. We were there, but I learned right and wrong though, growing up. And then, eventually, in high school, that's when it kind of, you know, as far as, you know, a great family, I want to insert this, you know, growing up, I mean, my family, my parents, my, you know, good people. Now, they weren't saved at the time, but still, even at that point, you know, provided lots of love in the house. But something happened to me, like, what was probably like in high school, the middle of high school is where I just kind of, something just kind of hit me where it was like, I felt like I was missing out on you know, in life. And all of a sudden it just, you know, just started the drinking and the smoking, and, you know, one thing led to another. And what was interesting, and I always say this at the church, an alcoholic doesn't become an alcoholic by drinking, you know, like, you know, 12 beers in one day, just all of a sudden, okay, I'm going to drink 12 beers. It starts with that one drink, you know?
That's right.
So I started with a beer, and I remember even starting to, you know, to chew the tobacco, from chewing tobacco, you know, a little tobacco. Then it was like smoking cigarettes, from smoking cigarettes to, you know, the next thing I know, I'm in parties and I'm doing lines of cocaine. Now, I never got addicted to cocaine, but just the idea that I was doing lines of cocaine here and there, I mean, that was something like growing up. I'm like, you know, drugs, no, you know, horrible. I would never do something like that. And it was just amazing to see the progression of how, you know, little by little, you know, a drink here, a cigarette here, and a little bit of chewing tobacco over here. The next thing you know, you know, I'm doing lines of cocaine. Just, you know, my whole focus every single day was, where's the next party? That was it. As far as, you know, the drinking, and then also in the process of that, also I got involved in gambling. So I was addicted to gambling. If the horses, the dogs, football games, baseball games, and if not here, I'd be in Las Vegas or Laughlin, Nevada, you know, at the craps table, and at the playing blackjack and everything else. That, you know, as far as the gambling part. So
what about girls? How did that fit into the whole thing?
It was interesting. You just said that there was a real emptiness in my heart. And what was happening was I was trying to fill that emptiness in my heart. And I tried to fill it with the alcohol and with everything else, and even the gambling, and then also in relationships. And actually, I ended up living with somebody for 2 years right before I got saved. I was actually in a relationship, and I was living with this person for 2 years. You know, it was interesting because I know, you know, people were praying for me. And all of a sudden, towards the tail end, right before I surrendered my heart to Jesus, you know, I started to get, you know, convicted a little bit of like, you know, if we're going to continue to live together, we should get married. So I started talking like that, you know, and then I was having moments of, what is life? There's got to be more to life than this, you know. I knew I had come to a place where I knew better, you know. Like I said, I wasn't saved, and my parents, you know, now at this time are saved, but before that weren't saved. But again, they taught me right and wrong. I mean, you know, the drinking, the drugs, and all these things. I mean, you know, they weren't pleased with all that. And I was just getting to a place, and I came to a place where it's like, okay, there must be more to life than this. This can't be what, this cannot be all there is to this, because I am empty. I'm not happy. I'm depressed, you know. And it was in 1994, you know, in that relationship, you know, just trying to, you know, find out there's got to be more than life than this. My sister had just recently gotten saved, and she was telling me about Jesus. And I'm like, oh, no, now you. Now, first it's mom, now then it was dad, and now it's you. They, you know, and she, you know, she would come and visit from Colorado, and she'd drop off a Bible and, you know, and kind of always check up on me. And even one time when she came with this Bible that she had bought me, she came over and I had money on a football game. And I'm like, okay, Stacy, this is a bad time right now. I was losing that day. And I'm thinking, this is my sister now visiting. We're very close. Me and my sister are very close. She was visiting, and while she was there the whole trip, I didn't go see her one time. And when she stopped by to say hi to me and drop off a Bible as she came to visit, I was so consumed with the gambling part of it. I had money on that game. I had lost all day long. And I'm like, okay, Stacy, this is a bad time right now. You know, I'll talk to you later. Leave me alone. And I actually, during that trip, never saw her. I didn't even see her that the rest of her trip. That's how consumed I was.
Wow.
And I lost that night too. So at the end of the night, I was like, wow, you know, and it was bad. I ended up actually selling my car to take care of a gambling debt, you know.
Oh, that's huge. Was that a wake-up call for you?
Yes, that was a wake-up call, you know, and I started to realize, okay, now these were the things that started to happen little by little. Like, okay, there has to be more to life than this. And it was in 1994, the summer of 1994, where it all just reached that level, that point where it's like, okay, I was just searching, and I just, you know, I didn't want to continue to live the way I was living. And I called upon the name of the Lord. I mean, everyone, you know, had shared about Jesus and the Lord and, you know, and salvation and being born again and all these things. And I remember the summer of 1994, I was in my condo, and I was in my condo all by myself. I wasn't in church. And I called upon the name of the Lord. I actually just cried out. And I said, if you're up there, this is it. Me and you, kind of, you know. It's like, if you're up there, I'm here, you know, and I need help. And if you're real, this is like basically, okay, this is your opportunity to show yourself. And he did. He did. And I had an encounter, just like Paul had an encounter with Jesus, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on the way to Damascus. When Paul was going on the way to Damascus, he wasn't saved before that. That's when he was trying to take out Christianity.
That's right.
And on his way to Damascus, he had an encounter with the Lord. And when he got back up, he was saved, washed by the blood of Jesus, and then he started to preach the gospel. Now, that wasn't the same encounter, but it was an encounter of, you know, as far as where my life was never the same after that. I mean, it was an altar that I'll never forget. It doesn't matter if every single person that says, I believe in Jesus, let's put it this way, and then all of a sudden, everyone that says, I believe in Jesus, every pastor, every minister around the world, and then all of a sudden, everyone turns away from God, let's say, I still would never turn away from Jesus, because that moment, that day, that altar, I know that he is alive. I know that he changed my life. I know that he's real. I can never turn away from him as far as from that moment, that altar, because he showed himself when I cried out, and I know that he's real. And my life, you know, has never been the same ever since.
Did he
then.
Actually appear to you?
Not in a physical, okay. But with multiple. It's quite a long story.
Is it too personal to share?
It has to do with all the things that we just talked about prior.
Okay.
And it all reached a place where a phone call came in, and it was one of those where it's like, okay, you know, when people turn around and say, you know, it's like, you know, well, that was just by chance, or you know,
right?
Everything that took place after I called upon his name. I mean, things started to happen like minutes afterwards.
Wow.
Where you know that you know, okay, this is not this is not by chance. I mean, this is God. God is getting my attention. He is saying, I am here, and it's time. And that's what happened. And like I said, I remember from that point on, I mean, I got back up and I started going to church. I actually went back home to my, because I was living on my own, you know, living with the person that I was living with. And my parents were in Greece, actually. And I went back home. And when they came back from Greece, I was back home, you know, and saved and serving God.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. And what was interesting is so many years prior to that, my parents, you know, at that point when I was living at home, looked at me and said, listen, we love you. And this house is always open to you, but we are going to follow the rules of God in the house, and you need to respect those things, and you can't do the things that you've been doing in this house. So at that point, they were saying, you got to make a decision. If you want to continue living the way you're living, you can't do it in the house. You have to go do somewhere else. But what was awesome was when they said that, they said it with so much love, where I knew no matter what, because the decision was I got up and left, and that's where I ended up in the relationship and living with this person. But what was interesting is I always knew, though, because I understood where they were coming from, that the house was always open to me and that they were there for me, but at the same time that, hey, what if we're going to do it, we're going to do it, and we're going to honor the Lord, and we're going to, you know, and this house is going to be, you know, the house of God. Amen.
So when you were living with your parents, that's when they got saved? You were still living there?
When I was living at the house, my parents had, yes, they were saved.
Were you in high school at this time?
I was actually high school. In the beginning, yeah, in high school. And my mom was the first one to get saved. And actually, from the whole family, my dad actually got mad at her. And could you imagine? And you know my father. It's like, you know, and it's like, you know, could you ever imagine him? Could you ever see him being upset or mad? And he, and this is even before getting saved. He was just, you know, he's always just a great guy, you know, just a good heart. And when my mom got saved, though, my dad's like, oh my goodness, what have you done? You know, because, you know, born again, those words in our upbringing were not familiar words. They were actually, okay, if you're not Greek Orthodox, then you've missed it. You know, you're not going to heaven, basically. You know what I mean? It's we have the truth, and anything outside of it, you know, is off, you know? So when my mom got saved, people, you know, and she started to talk about, you know, her experiences, you know, my dad got upset. It's like, oh, what is everybody going to say? And, you know, the community and the people. And 2 weeks later, though, actually 2 weeks went by where he even did not talk to her for a while. But she prayed. My pastor in California was praying during that stretch. Long story short, a few weeks later, my dad gave his heart to Jesus. True miracle. And
how did your mom first find the Lord?
My mom actually, gave her heart to the Lord through another Greek lady here in Arizona as a byproduct of the pastor from California coming here. And my pastor that, you know, that I'm ordained under, just a great man of God, Pastor Panos. He, you know, some people, you know, had gotten a hold of him about, hey, there's some Greek people that are, you know, that are interested as far as hearing the word of God. And he started coming down and just sharing the word and having these Bible studies, and people were getting saved. So a lady that was saved, a Greek lady that was saved, ended up ministering to my mom, and my mom got saved. And so, you know, this wildfire started to happen. Amen. Then my dad got saved. And in the process of it, you know, people in the community were talking. They were saying, oh, you guys are heretics, and you're this and you're that. But my mom stood, and little by little, my aunts, my uncle, my cousins, you know, one by one, everyone started getting
and
saved.
And I met one of your cousins.
And you've seen, and they're all in the church now. They're all in the church. You know, they're on the worship team. My one cousin is over the children's ministry, and my uncle is an usher at the church. You know, so they're all. And then my sister gets saved, and so this is all happening in a 10-year period. Everyone's getting saved, but my mom stood. And, you know, I want to encourage somebody who might be listening right now that if you have family members that aren't saved and don't know Jesus, the Bible says you and your family shall be saved. God is in the family business. When God gets a hold of one and that one stands, grace and mercy extends to the rest of them. That's what happened with my mom. My mom stood and was not moved, and she prayed, and little by little, one by one, started coming into relationship with Jesus.